Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network, halfway through the PIAA state playoffs for baseball and softball. Only four WPIO baseball teams remain in the hunt for state gold. All four, Mount Lebanon in 6A, Shaler in 5A, Hopo in 4A, Riverside in 3A, are looking for double gold. All four were WPIO champions. Time to talk to the head coach of the team of the week in the WPIAL, and that is the Hopewell Vikings, team of the month, probably, the way they have been playing second half of the regular season, district playoffs, now the state playoffs. Their head coach, Morgan Singletary, is kind enough to join us. Morgan, congratulations on this crazy run. You guys have had some success over the last few years in 3A. You guys were the hunted. Now you've been the hunter, and it's worked out pretty darn good.
Yeah, we've been on a great run. It's been a lot of fun.
Let's go way back. You know, realignment comes out. You guys, after the success you've enjoyed in 3A, are bumped up into 4A and into a very, very competitive 4A section. Was there concern before the season even started about the move up after losing a couple of big players from a year ago?
I don't think there was concern. I think we had a lot of confidence. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I thought we'd be in the mix for the section. Didn't know if we'd win it or not because the competition was real good, but I thought we'd be in the mix for it. Obviously, that didn't go quite how we thought during the regular season, but not really concerned. It's teams that we played. We played up a lot when we were 3A, so we faced a lot of the teams that we played. It wasn't anything new to us. They were out-of-section games, so we were seeing different pitching, but they were also seeing different pitching from us, so...
There's a Jackbox game, Jackbox, you know, video games you can play on TV, called Quiplash that my family likes to play. My youngest son said, when every time we hook it up and we're ready to play, he says, first round means nothing. You guys in Mount Lebanon are starting to prove the first month means nothing, because it was a rough April for the Blue Devils. It was a rough April for you guys as well. 4-9 at one point, including a 7-game losing streak. What was going on? Was you mentioned that you guys were optimistic coming into the season. A lot of the same faces that have been part of the success, including a district crown a couple of years ago. And yet things just aren't working out. Was there a certain level of frustration when things weren't going good?
Yeah, there was a lot of frustration. I think we had trouble finding an identity. I don't know if we had quite the leadership we were expecting. We weren't performing, obviously, the way we were expecting. We jumped out the first couple games, and we were smashing the ball. We were just having some trouble defensively, which we kind of expected because we had some young guys playing some positions. But then our bats just disappeared over that stretch, and that was kind of a surprise on how drastic of a turn it took. So it was about working back in, figuring out what kind of team we were going to be. And we maxed out on our time to figure that out.
One of the keys, as you know, this time of year, really May, June, you want to get solid pitching. You want to have solid defense. Those are the things, it's cliche, but those truly are the things that really rise and are the center of attention this time of year, because everybody's got hitters, everybody's got pitchers. But if you know you can stay away from the walks with your pitchers and you can play some good defense and keep the errors to a very, very, very minimum, you'll be in good shape. The pitching turnaround is really crazy for you guys. In that 7-game losing streak here, you guys allowed 13, 10, 11, 9, 8, 16 runs. You guys were giving up a lot of runs, but boy, has that changed now. You look up and down, especially once the postseason began, and runs are hard to come by against the Vikings.
Yeah, our pitching's been great through this stretch. Landon's been doing what we expect him to do. He's been throwing great. And then the young guys coming in. We have Kingston Krotek's been starting our games that Landon hasn't been starting. And then we've had Johnny Vecchio coming in after him. And then Medich or Muzzy have been the guys closing those ones out and finishing it up for us. So we have pretty much a bullpen game that day. Obviously, our last game that we had that go, Kingston went the whole game, which was great. It was great to see him come out of his shell there. It was great to see him extend himself and get the success.
Going into the state playoffs, okay, you're coming off the very emotional high of a WPIL championship run, including a thrilling victory over Latrobe in the district title game. A relatively quick turnaround with the state playoffs beginning on Monday. You guys had the opportunity of an extra day since you guys played on the first day of the WPIL finals. But was it easy? Was it tough as far as bringing the kids back down a little bit, a few notches, and getting them prepared and focused for Northern Lebanon?
No, surprisingly, it wasn't. That's usually a hard game to come back from after you win, as you said, the emotional high that we were on, especially for our situation. We were expected to lose the first game, so to be playing in the championship was a surprise in itself, and then to win the championship, it was definitely an experience. They bounced back good. I think they've embraced this being the underdog. We told them throughout all these playoffs, all these teams are going to be better than us too on paper. Obviously, we still need to play the games, and we've shown that you still need to play the games. So it's on it. I've seen this group. So as we said earlier about finding, they found themselves and they're rolling with it.
Yeah, two names that you mentioned were really stood out with great performances in that first round victory, 3-0 Hopewell over the number three team out of District 3, Northern Lebanon. Kingston Krotek, who got the start, four hits, two strikeouts, wasn't dominating, but did what he had to do in picking up the shutout. And John Vecchio with a couple of hits and an RBI for the Vikings were key in that first run game.
Yeah, that first round game, Kingston was great. He did what he had to do, and then behind them, I think they talked about it some. We had Chalk, our catcher, he's also a freshman, threw out three guys that tried to steal on us. We knew that they were going to try and run, and for him to take out the first three guys that tried, that was a huge pickup. So guys get on base, and then we get them right off instantly. And then Johnny in center field had a couple, at least one big catch. I know his diving catch for that one, but he had a hell of a game at the plate, and he's been coming around. Offensively, I think he's found out what he's good at and he's embracing it. He's not trying to smash the ball every time. He will take his swings when he needs to, but he's getting the ball in play, and he's been great at that, and he's been getting hits to fall, which is what we need from the bottom of the order. And then he didn't mention him, but our other one who I'm gonna call out is Zach Gelati at shortstop. He's a sophomore, so getting it from some underclassmen. I think he had eight plays, and I don't know if any of them were routine. So we got a lot of younger guys cooking to complement the seniors that we have taking on the role that they should be in.
So you win the first round game, head to Slippery Rock for the quarterfinals against the Big Bad District 10 champions. Cathedral Prep had a tremendous season, only one loss in 23 games, I think, coming into the quarterfinals contest. They have smashed the ball all over the place all year long. And what a performance by Landon Fox. Goes 6 1/3, six hits, six strikeouts. And just as important, Dave Medich coming in getting the save in a tough situation in the seventh inning.
Yeah, he's had a couple big saves in those situations, and we don't seem to ever put him in an easy one. I think they had the tying run at first base when he came in, so it was all the pressure that you would expect going against, I think it was their 2-3-4 hitters who aren't easy outs in any manner. I don't think anyone on that team was an easy out, but he came in, he did what he had to do. We had, and thinking the Whippeal playoffs, there were two games that he had to come in and get a save. I think one of them had bases loaded with the tying run at second base or the winning run at second base. So Nothing's been easy for him, and he's really stepped up. Again, another underclassman. We have – it's been amazing. I can't tell. I mean, you guys could probably see, but I can't tell you how proud I am of all these guys for stepping up and doing the roles that we're asking them to do.
What was working for Landon against the Ramblers?
His fastball and his fastball, he's hitting a low strike. The umpire was getting that low strike, which is very nice. His changeup was keeping him off balance. His changeup has been good all year. It seems to be his go-to pitch. And his curveball at the beginning was a little bit off. We were struggling to get it over the plate, but he was able to sink a couple of those in. So showing that third pitch against hitters like that really helps keep him off balance.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of performances of players, too, that I'll mention here that were a big part of the victory against Erie Cathedral Prep. Lucas Squared, right? Lucas Arrington had a couple hits. Lucas Walton, a couple of RBI. Talk a little bit about them. And again, just another example of really everybody participating.
Yeah, Lucas Arrington, he didn't quite have the regular season that he was expecting to have and that we really expected him to have. But, man, as he turned it on in playoffs, throughout all the playoffs, he's been crushing the ball. So he had a double. He had a double against Cathedral Prep, and then he came in. I think he had a single later in the game also. So, I mean, two big hits, driving gaps. That's what we were expecting to get out of him. So for him to be turning it on at the right time is perfect. And Lucas Walton, he's had strong at-bats through all playoffs also. I mean, just working counts, even when he's getting outs, they're good outs. He's been a battle in there for all the pitchers he's facing. So he's seeing pitches and he's driving the ball when he's getting the chance to. So, I mean, yeah, up and down, everyone seems to be doing what we're asking of them. And I mean, I can't say it enough. They're really coming together as a team, and that's what we needed for them to be this successful.
Tell us, I heard it vaguely, I think at Wild Things Park, somebody was telling me about the whole USA thing that has really sort of taken on a life of its own with your team. Tell us a little the backstory of that.
Well, the backstory is I was trying to loosen them up. We were in the dugout talking going into the West Mifflin game at the beginning of the Whipple playoffs. As I said earlier, that we weren't expected to win that game. We knew we had a chance if we could do what we have, but we hadn't shown that we could do what we thought we could all season. So who would expect it to come out then? Just a backhand comment. It was either the day before the game or 2 days before the game. I was just like, hey, guys, America loves an underdog. So you're not just playing for Hopewell. You're playing for America. And just kind of caught on. We had a conversation another day, and a kid said, yeah, and we're playing for America. And from there, just has taken a life of its own. I've given them a couple underdog speeches after the games that they seem to be enjoying. I'm running a little low. So luckily, we can get out of here maybe with two more, hopefully. But yeah, it picked up. They've taken it. The fans have taken it on. Hey, we got a bunch of Patriots. If that's what brought them together, awesome.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I love the fact that Wild Things Park during the Latrobe Championship game, anytime anything went right for Hopewell, you got the USA chance, which I thought was pretty awesome too. So anybody out there with some good underdog speeches, please feel free to send them to Morgan. He needs at least two more, he hopes, for the semifinals and possible PIAA championship game. So you're still going on. You're still fighting the fight. Monday, you get a crack at another district champion, District 6 champion, Bellefonte. What do you know about them?
We start gathering information. Obviously, it's a quick turnaround from this game to the next one. We're starting to play teams that are a lot farther away, so it's a little bit more sparse on what we can get. Don't know much. They have two guys that can really throw. I think they've thrown a lot in this playoff, so we're expecting to see those two, if one or the other, or if not both of them. So we're preparing for that, just getting an idea of what they do on the bases and what their hitters can do. I think they have a couple D1 guys also, so we'll be preparing for them at the plate. Honestly, the turnaround, we're going to get as much information as we can to be as prepared as we can, but like I said, it's getting a little bit tougher the further we get in because these teams are getting a lot further away.
Yeah, they've scored double-digit runs in both their state playoff victories, both over WPIL teams, 10 runs against Latrobe, 11 in the quarterfinal victory over Indiana, So they can rake the ball, but Cathedral Prep could rake them too. And you guys were able to hold them in check in your 4-2 victory over the Ramblers. Morgan, this has been a tremendous, tremendous turnaround. You guys have now become the new poster boys of teams that struggle out of the gate, can point to and say, hey, it's not over yet. Let's go. Let's rally. You guys have done that on your way to WPIL gold, two wins away from state gold. Congratulations for keeping the troops together. It's easier said than done. And best of luck on Monday and beyond.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Morgan Singletary, young head coach of the Hopewell Vikings. It's a school district that has had great teams that have now sort of hit a rut, that are struggling a little bit. But that baseball program, boom, 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 consistent success. And they keep it going this year. It looked like it might be a rough season. 4-9 at one point. Two games under 500 entering that West Mifflin game in the first round of the state playoffs. Had a chance to call that one. Great game. Played by both teams. It was a real, I think, 2-1 Hopewell won. Very well played game. Then they beat North Catholic. Then they beat Indiana. Then they beat Latrobe. And here in the state playoffs, Northern Lebanon and Cathedral Prep are their victims. Belfont coming up on Monday. Kudos to the Vikings. So Belfont, I mentioned their victory over Indiana. Indiana had defeated East Pennsboro, one of the top teams, District 3 champions, in the first round of the playoffs, 2-1. Jacob Kramer, 2-for-3. Stephen Budash with a home run in that game for the Little Indians. Garrison Daugherty, 2-for-3 with an RBI as Indiana stunned East Pennsboro 2-1. Belfont ending Latrobe season with a 10-9 victory. The Wildcats, Jacob Kramer, 2-for-3, 5 RBI. Not enough as the Blue Devils prevail. Hopewell mentioned their 3-0 victory in round one over Northern Lebanon. Montour had their season end with a 6-5 loss to Cathedral Prep. Cole Constable, Maryland recruit for Cathedral Prep, a 3-run homer in the 6th inning after Montour was up 5-3. The difference in that one. But Cathedral Prep held in check by Landon Fox. David Medich gets the save. Hopewell wins 4-2. Belfont, 11-5 winners over Indiana in the quarterfinals in 4A. A four-run fifth broke a 5-5 tie for the Blue Devils. Gavin Homer, two hits and a triple for the Little Indians as their season comes to an end. They also had an impressive, unexpected run in the postseason, 16-11, their final record. Latrobe final record 17-8. Montour final record 20-5. Right now, Hopewell 14-11 as they get ready for Belfont on Monday. The other 4A semifinal will pit District 12 champion Archbishop Wood against District 2 champion Dallas. That game at DeSales University Monday at 4:30. The Belfont Hopewell game, First Commonwealth Bank Field in Homer City. That's in the Indiana area. That's at 4:30. All right, let's take a look at 3A, what has happened in the first two rounds of the PIAA state playoffs. WPL champion Riverside, a 3-2 win over Tyrone in the first round. Darren McDade, 2-for-3, an RBI for the undefeated Panthers. East Allegheny season came to an end with a loss to Fairview. Trainer Janosko, an RBI and a double for the Wildcats. Their final record 14-8. Neshanic season ends after losing to Riverside in the WPL finals. They lost to Punxsutawney in the first round of the state playoffs. It was 7-0 Chucks after two innings as they jumped all over the Lancers. Andrew Fry singled and scored a run for the Lancers. Their final record 18-6. And It was Phillipsburg Osceola ending the season for the Avonworth Antelopes. Brian Barnes, 2-for-4 with a homer and 2 RBI for the Mountaineers. Sam McDonald was the winning pitcher for Phillipsburg Osceola in that victory. 4-3 in 8 innings for the Mountaineers. Avonworth final record 18-7. That set up the quarterfinals game between Riverside and Fairview, Punxsutawney and Phillipsburg Osceola. Riverside wins 9-3 over the District 10 champions, Fairview Tigers. Hunter Garvin with 2 hits. Ashton Schlosser with 2 hits for the Panthers. Drake Fox, Mitchell Grimm, each with 2 RBI for Riverside. Christian Lucarelli, 5 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts as they improve to 23-0. Punxsutawney, a 6-1 winner over Phillipsburg Osceola. So District 9 champion Punxsutawney, 20-2 against WPL champion Riverside. That semifinal game is Monday, Jack Critchfield Park, Slippery Rock University at 4 p.m. The other 3A semifinal game will be Camp Hill, District 3 champs, taking on Saucon Valley, the District 11 champs. Saucon Valley, a 6-0 win over Hughesville. Camp Hill, 2-0 win over Newman Goretti from District 12. Wagner Field in Fredericksburg, the site of that one, Monday at 4 p.m. All right, let's continue. Take a look at Class 2A. First round of the PIAA playoffs. Not a good one for WPIL teams. 1-2. WPL champion Seton LaSalle goes down to District 9 runner-up Carn City. Final score 2-1. Aaron White, an RBI for Area White, excuse me, an RBI for Seton LaSalle. Brian Reed, their starter, 5 innings, 10 strikeouts. But the Rebels offense just not up to snuff. 2-1. They lose to Carn City, while Bald Eagle beat McConnellsburg 10-4. Rebels final record, by the way, 17-5. Sarah Catholic, the runners-up from the WPIL, also lose in round one. Their final record, 19-4. Isaiah Petty, Quinn Dombrowski with 2 hits each for Sarah Catholic. Not enough as they lose to Sharpsville, the District 10 champs, by a score of 7-4. Burgettstown a winner, though. Blue Devils in round one beat Red Bank Valley from District 9, 6-1. Andrew Brettle, an RBI double for the Blue Devils. He also was the winning pitcher, 1 unearned run, 11 strikeouts. Maddox Gratchen, 2-for-3 with 2 RBI as well in that Burgettstown win. But the Blue Devil season ended in the quarterfinals, a 10-3 loss to Sharpsville. Brettle with a triple and 2 RBI for Burgettstown. Luke Drisler for Sharpsville, 2 doubles, 2 RBI. Sharpsville advances. Burgettstown season ends at 16-5. Up next for Sharpsville will be Bald Eagle. Bald Eagle defeated Carn City in the quarterfinals 6-0. That game Monday between the District 6 champs and the District 10 champs will be played at Showers Field in Dubois at 4:30. Eastern side of the 2A bracket, Mount Union 16-1 winners over Calvary Christian. Kutztown defeats South Williamsport 9-0, so a couple one-sided quarterfinal wins. Mount Union, the District 6 runner-ups, so District 6 with 2 of the final 4 teams in 2A. Mount Union will play Kutztown Monday at Big Spring High School at 4 p.m. No more WPIL teams left in 2A. Same situation in 1A. All the WPIL representatives got wiped away in round one. WPIL champion Bishop Canavan losing to Sagertown 6-0. Sagertown's Henry Schaefer throwing the no-hitter, allowing the Panthers to advance to the quarterfinals. Bishop Canavan's season ends at 15-4. District 9 champion Clarion, no problem with Harmony, 15-0, the Bobcats win. Southern Fulton ends California season 8-3 victory. Dane Harvey, two homers, six RBIs for the District 5 champions, Southern Fulton. California season ends at 14-9. And District 10 champion West Middlesex defeated Union 12-2. Devin Groover, 3-for-3, a triple, a homer, and four RBI to lead the Big Red to the 12-2 win over the Scotties, whose season ends at 14-6. So no WPL teams into the quarterfinals. Quarterfinal results, Clarion, second straight shutout. They blank Sagertown 9-0. Southern Fulton defeats West Middlesex 6-1. So it's D5 versus D9 in the semifinals Monday. Clarion against Southern Fulton at Mount Aloysius College at 2 p.m. Eastern side of the bracket, District 1 champion Doc Mennonite defeated Northeast Bradford 11-2 in the quarters. They will now play Dubois Central Catholic from District 9. So two District 6 teams in the Final Four in 2A, two District 9 teams in the Final Four in Class A with Clarion and Dubois Central Catholic. DCC defeated Greenwood 9-7 in the quarterfinals. Doc Mennonite against Dubois Central Catholic at Central Columbia High School Monday at 4 p.m. And there you have it. We'll give you a 5A and 6A update in our Player of the Week podcast coming up. Thanks to Morgan Singletary of the Hopewell Vikings for joining us. Thanks as well to producer extraordinaire Chris Lackner. I'm Don Rebel. Thank you for joining us midway through the path to Penn State. It's the Rebel Yell podcast here on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.